This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. I'm your host, Francesca Gentile, and with me today are Dr. Elspeth Moit and Freddie Zental Weaver, founders and directors of the Tantra Nova Institute in Chicago, internationally known seminar leaders, relationship coaches, and tantric educators, producers of the DVD series Creating Intimacy and Love. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Francesca.
Hi, it's so beautiful to have you here with us across the country and with all our listening audiences all over the world, and we welcome them as well. And Freddie and Elspeth, one of the reasons I'm so delighted to have you on the show is because the two of you so much embody a beautiful, loving couple who, you know, does the work in their own lives and then brings it out to us, and is really on the path of joy and what you call being led by sexual intelligence. And I love that term. Could you tell us a little bit about what that means to you and your journey as guides of love for us?
Well, I guess I'll open. This is Freddie Zental Weaver and Francesca. So sexual intelligence, there's an intelligence that is that sexual energy, and we don't have to think about it. It's just part of who and what we are part of. When you think that this energy was creating life, existence, long before we as thinking Homo sapiens had any inkling of E equals MC square, with consciousness and focus, there's a tremendous intelligence we can learn to draw on, and those elements are creativity and pleasure, not just in the bedroom, which is great too, also in every area of our life, where we live, how we treat our children, how we treat our neighbors, how we create our dreams. And that's what Tantra really has been for me and for the hundreds of couples that we've had the privilege of working with over the 8 years we've had Tantra Nova Institute in Chicago.
Yeah, and let me just add a little something here from how sexual energy shows up for me. It is really a kind of a transformation around the sexual energy, because in our culture we are actually not so well informed, or I don't know how to say, about that energy. We very much have it as a thing that, you know, when we get married, it's the time to use that, and of course many of us use it earlier, but however, it's not an energy we get introduced to early on when we are children as something that is just part of being alive. Actually, it's the source of our life. And so in the work we do, what has been showing up for me more and more, the more I grow in the tantric practice, the more I grow in my relationship, is that there is a knowledge, a wisdom, an intelligence, in that energy that can be explored and then used and harnessed to create all of it, not just making babies, and that is, I mean, how magnificent and magical, and the same energy we use for creating our relationship, for creating peace within myself. Of course, I connect my sexual energy with the rest of myself, my spiritual energy, my love energy, and so forth. So for me, it's really a whole new level of evolution that we, you know, are entering as humanity. And I think the tantric practice has opened up a tremendous door for people, for myself and others, and I think Francesca, you and I are at the forefront of something.
Well, let's look at this a little bit more closely. What I hear you saying is that the sexual intelligence is that Eros itself, Eros as the life force itself, something that our embodied soul is meant to celebrate and be guided by. And I love that idea. And yet, me personally, and I'm guessing our listening audience as well, I can get pretty lost in how to do that. And you know, here I have this beautiful lovemaking session. It was only this morning with my beloved. And then I'm about to be on an interview with you, and I'm rushing. And suddenly I lose that intimate connection we have. And I'm you know, trying to make breakfast, and I'm starting to get very curt and yell at him. And so how, in those moments of life, when life happens, do we still stay connected to that erotic life force, that the beauty of creativity and pleasure itself?
Well, you know, Francesca, the key to presence in the now is the breath. That's the first piece. When we're in our belly breath, a good, deep belly breath, our mind is free. For a few moments, there's no yammering, there's no conversation, there's no interpretation. There is just breathing and being. And we can build on that. We can build more capacity to be present to that observer, we like to call it, with practice. And there's a very practical practice that I can share with you now, if you'd like. It's very short and simple.
I would love that, because that deep belly breath sounds like such a good idea. But how do we do it?
Okay, so just sitting or lying wherever you are in a comfortable position, feeling supported, just observing any thoughts, letting them be, letting them go. We're going to breathe into the nose, into the lungs, and breathe into the belly, extending the belly on the inhalation like a big balloon, and exhaling back up and out all in your own pace, depth, and rhythm. When you extend into the belly on your inhalation, you activate your parasympathetic nervous system, different from your sympathetic nervous system. When you are breathing parasympathetically, you're activating immune enhancers, endorphins. You start to cognate more differently from just left brain. You begin to be more present to just being, and it relaxes you physiologically. So it assists in this observer that we were referring to. So breathing as you are, sitting, letting the thoughts come and go. Visualize the breath coming into the nose, down the esophagus, into your lungs, and extending into your belly like a big balloon on your inhalation. Exhaling back up and out, all in your own pace, depth, and rhythm. Because it is unusual to breathe into the belly, you might put a hand on your belly to feel the rise on the inhalation and the fall on your exhalation. Just breathing and being, giving the busy mind a rest for a few moments. This simple practice on a regular basis will begin to build more capacity for you to be your own observer in creating what you want to create in your life. However you wanted that situation this morning to be when you were completing with your beloved, you know, that you could make an easy transition from that wonderfulness to the other busyness of your life with the work, that it's possible, that anything's possible, and that we can be in the energy of that, and then we create that.
Yeah, so like in a concrete way then, in that moment when you got up and, you know, what you might have been facing, it's actually then to pause for a moment and breathe. It's like, that is why we want to have the breath, the conscious breath, available. So that really, oh yeah, okay, now something is triggering me, something is frustrating me, I'm feeling rushed, I'm a little scared, or whatever that emotion, that feeling that comes up at a particular moment, to pause and breathe. And in that breath, and the listeners, you might have just experienced like coming more to calmness and just like slowing down. In that moment, we actually become open again to listen to ourselves, what concerns are there, what needs are there. We can listen to the other, to our beloved, because when we get frustrated and angry and upset, the first thing that shuts down is the listening. So that is a way to actually shift in our relationships to stay harmonious versus having these interruptions of upsets. And And that doesn't mean that we don't get upset. It's just being human. However, we can now intervene in a way, and that what Freddy Santal led us through is a great practice. Each of us wants to do it on our own so that we develop that muscle so that it's available for us in the moment of challenge.
It's so beautiful, and I want to go much deeper into how we keep that sense of creativity and pleasure and connection throughout our life, throughout our day, more about what that observer is and how to connect with that part of us after a break and a word from our fabulous sponsors. And I encourage our listening audience to support our sponsors. They allow great shows like this to keep coming to you, and our sponsors offer us wonderful specials and delicious discounts, and we'll be right back.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex Tantra and Kama Sutra, bringing soul of sex, talking with Dr. Elspeth Moit and Freddy Santal Weaver, founders and directors of the Tantra Nova Institute, and also internationally known seminar leaders, relationship coaches, and Tantra educators. I'm so excited. I want to get back in. Is that concept of the observer that we talked about. Now, there's a part of me that loves it, you know, the ability to be maybe have a little bit more witnessing and not be so reactive. And then there's a part of me that can think, oh, well, does this mean that I'm going to be disconnected from someone? And my partner will sometimes even say to me, you've left me. You know, I'm standing right in front of him, but he'll say, you've left me. You're not connected to me anymore. So could you talk a little bit about what that observer really is and how do we feel that someone has left us when they're right in front of us, and how do we come back into a sense of connection?
Great. So there is the observer in our meditation that is just without any agenda, without any evaluation or conversation about whatever's coming up emotionally or in the physics of their location. And then there is, as we continue these meditations, there's an intentional observer. So if, for instance, you were with your beloved and you felt there was a shift in the way that you were being, or you were being aloof by observing what was coming up, you can bring your intention to create more love and more light and more presence. Again, these capacities build as you do more of the quiet observer on your own. The mind's very busy, and we are chemically addicted to our emotions. This is a wonderful story that just illustrates what I'm talking about. So there's a moose walking in the forest, and this is just how busy our minds are. The moose is walking through the forest, and a tree falls. And the moose is just glad that it got out of the way and didn't get hit by the tree. And then the moose looks at the tree and eats some of the berries on the tree, and then the rain starts to fall, and then the moose sticks his snout up and then catches some of the water in his mouth, and when he's ready, he moves on. Now the human, the big-brained Homo sapien, is walking through the forest, and the tree falls. And the human, oh my God, the tree has fallen in my path. Now I'm going to be late for my meeting. I've got to make a bridge. God, why me? Why me? And this is what we do with everything, automatically. So our minds exist because we have to have something to fix and correct and make right. And the mind has served us well in terms of understanding the universe, creating longer life, exact science, and so on. And yet, if there's nothing to worry about, we'll create something to fix or make wrong or worry about, and often out of our ego or our survival mind. So in this observer, we can be more intentional and to manifest and create and be in the energy of what we'd like to create and not be so automatic, which is what we normally do.
Freddie, as you're speaking, I'm starting to notice that in my everyday reality, I'm imagining our listening audience as well, we're always assessing, judging, and evaluating. You know, I like that outfit. I don't like that outfit. That person looks dangerous. That person looks friendly. And moment to moment, I'm reacting and labeling everything around me. And it sounds like the observer is not that, that the observer is someone who, the part of me that can even be the noticing, oh, look at me, I just judge that person. Oh, look at me, I just assess that they were unsafe when I have no basis for that, that can watch what I'm actually thinking. Is that what we're saying? It's kind of a step back from just being in the room, the thoughts moment to moment, and actually watching them?
Yeah, actually something this morning happened for me like that, and I had a cancellation for my women's workshop that is coming up, and so I thought, oh my gosh, because I had like to have even numbers so the women can do partner exercises with each other. And so at first I thought was almost falling to like a loss, or, you know, how can this person do this to me? You know, it was like this moment that this came over me. And that at the same time, then I shifted in, oh, wait a minute, this is just what's so at this very moment. She's not coming. Alpha, just get it. She's not coming. So instead of wallowing in her canceling and feeling bad about it, I was breathing. Said, okay, so how can I use this opportunity, this challenge, to create something that was not there before? Got on the phone, called a couple of women. One woman signed up, just like on the spot, which I never would have done if that other cancellation hadn't come about. And I really shifted it in the moment. Now, I'm not saying that I'm like this all the time. Like that. I'm also not saying that I'm always like that with my beloved, because sometimes my beloved can really push my buttons. So, but that is what I'm practicing, both in my business life and also in my relational life. And so it just brings me back to the moment, and then in the moment I can look at, oh, what could I do here? And also with my beloved Freddie, you know, oh, instead of getting angry that we don't make phone calls or that we don't coordinate our schedule, oh, okay, can we just talk about this?
You know, that's so beautiful. It felt like you, when you talked about that sexual intelligence at the very beginning, that it's creative and pleasurable, that you shifted from the reactive mind into the creative mind. When you took that breath and you said, what could I make of this? Suddenly creativity was present. I love that.
That's exactly. And it looks totally different than what people perceive sex to be. And yes, there are definitely practices that are practiced with active sexual, you know, energetic activation. And yet that is replete, that same creative joyousness is replete through every area of our life, especially when you think that without that energy, we wouldn't be here, so that anything pleasurable or creative could be almost considered sexual. It's like gravity or air. Or water.
Let me say a little bit more about that, how that shows up for me in my body, because that connection with my sexual being has something to do with the breath and with my lower centers in the body, not lower like they are less, but lower like just, you know, they live in my the butt area, which is the first center, and then the creation center, which is above the pubic bone. By breathing, actually, and coming back to myself, I connect with my sexual energy in a subtle way. And so, of course, I've been practicing to connect with my sexual energy, my sexual center, for many years now, so it's something that I can call on very quickly. I just want to bring that also to the audience, to the listeners, that it's something to cultivate the connection to one's sexual center as an, you know, a center that is sourcing us, that is enlivening us, both for our sexual, sensual love experiences, love-making experiences, as well as for our daily experience.
That is so gorgeous. And I want to talk more about that. And also, how do we help others? As my listening audience knows, my mother died a year ago, and it was a very challenging year for me. It's like I lost that sense of my pleasure,
my creative center, that I lost that sense of being a sacred witness of myself. And how can we be that support or guide for others in relationship, in friendship? I think our culture is so under knowledgeable about how we help others who are going through hard times or loss or trauma. And we'll discuss that a bit more when we come back from a word from our fabulous sponsors.
Listen to Expanded Lovemaking, a weekly internet audio program and podcast for men and women on Personal Life Media. Get advanced techniques that expand your lovemaking bliss.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra with Dr. Elspeth Moit and Freddie Zental Weaver. And I just want to get right back in to that place we're talking about, the witness, the observer, that sense of creative pleasure and life force in all of our lives and practices. Thank you for sharing that about how we do that ourselves. And how do we work together if I remember, but my partner forgets, or if I'm with someone and they're really suffering, they're not centered, how can I contribute to their creative force, their pleasure force, and bring them back home?
Well, that's a great question.
Let me I'll just answer or share briefly. But we can't really help anyone. I think what we can do is be a model in our own being, to be that which we would like the other to experience, and in that the other can choose and or remember or be guided in their own decision, in their own process to come back. And just if nothing else but to be in the energy of who you're being, in that joyousness, or this, even in the holding of the space or allowing the other to grieve or to be sad, because that's all part of life too. So it's not to say that, oh, I should always be joyous and creative and happy, and I should never allow myself to feel any of the things that happen to us in this life. That's not it at all. It's to be fully in the experience of all that this life is and that can offer. And what I've found in my life as I've done these practices over since I was 15, I'm 52 now, is that a lot of the upsetting things don't last as long. I still feel them, but I move quickly through them.
Mm-hmm. And so what Freddie Zental brought up is like that we can hold the space with and for another. So, for example, how can we bring that being in my observer, which for me it's really being a place in my body where I'm whole, where I feel peaceful, where I can listen to myself, what is going on for me, where I can listen to another. And in that place, I can then, you know, for example, when Freddie Zental and I, we have an upset or we argue, you know, if I come back to that place of peacefulness in myself and connectedness with myself, I then can just go over to his desk, embrace him, and invite him to, you know, do a few breaths with me. Because as I do the breath by myself, as we did it earlier in the practice, we then bring the breath to the relationship. And the wonderful thing happens then, which is that by breathing together into our heart center, which is right in the middle of the chest, between the breasts, we just place our heart centers on each other, embrace each other, and breathe, come to one breath, synchronize our breath. And in that breathing as one, we drop out of our head and we melt into each other. And for that moment, you know, the upset is gone. A new listening shows up. And in that new listening, we can listen to each other's concerns. Because most upsets, you know, they have something that needs to be taken care of. Like, you know, he wants to do something I don't want to do. He wants to go to the movies. I don't want to go to the movies. And what are we going to do? But if we fight, it's very difficult to find a solution. So anyway, the breath and the synchronized breath for the couple can do wonders with respect to resolving differences.
It sounds so simple, and yet, just even as you're saying it, I'm remembering the breath that Freddie led us so beautifully, and Freddy Zantal led us so beautifully in the beginning, where I felt this sense of calmness and peace come over me. And just that, taking that moment to remember that I can be the catalyst, the positive catalyst or the negative catalyst in any moment, in any relationship, and choosing to take that breath and to be that positive catalyst.
Yes, and the thing is doing that requires our continued practice and building capacity to be in the process of life itself, because that's where the shifts and the things happen. That's where, as you said, the game really is. But in doing the practices, exercises that you teach, that we teach at Tantra Nova Institute, that's where these things can begin to shift in our life. Now, in our mind, I mean, we can understand very clearly, analytically, that, okay, so to first accept exactly what I've got and then to create a new possibility of what I want to create is where we can start to think about what we want to do. But to do that is a different story, because there's emotions, there's old stories, there's rationalizations. So in these practices, coming again, as we mentioned earlier, to this observer is where we can begin to really make a difference in our lives.
And let me ask you one more thing, is that at times, I often hear, I'm imagining you do too, from couples where one partner is feeling maybe more depleted, or possibly both partners are feeling depleted. There's definitely depletion in the relationship, a sense that maybe needs for touch or joy or pleasure, not just sexual, haven't really been met. Sometimes it is sexual. And one partner is experiencing more of a sense of urgency or drive to shift this. And when we say, you know, breathe and start to be the witness, sometimes they can feel like they're so depleted that there's something else that needs to happen before they even have enough inside themselves to relax or to breathe. Have you noticed that at times as an issue? And what do you recommend for the person who's experiencing? Their mind understands it's a good idea, but they feel like they're so depleted they can't quite get there yet.
What I found in working with people, and actually also with myself, when I have that sense of feeling depleted, what helps a great deal is the other one, if Freddy Zantal listens to me. So, and listening like with no demand, just being there and, you know, want to share with me what's going on, or is there anything, you know, where I don't have to justify, where I don't have to explain. It's just like I can express my feelings, and he just is there without, you know, his judgments or without recommendations or what I should do. It's just total listening. And in that being totally listened to and heard, some of the depletion actually disappears, because the depletion comes from that I either don't see any possibility, I'm resigned, I'm despaired, I don't get what I want, I don't know how to make known what I want, or I don't feel that the other one really cares about me. All of that goes on. So when he just listens, really truly listens to me, it's like, oh, wow, I can just be. I don't have to be any different. So, and I also found that when we work with couples, that by then coaching them in a way that whoever is depleted is being listened to by the other. And in that listening, the one that feels depleted can open up and can actually get more in touch with his or her own feelings. And it does wonders. Now, that, I would say, is the beginning. Of course, then there are other conversations, other ways of connecting that follow. But unless I feel listened to, I don't want to even look at anything else.
That is so beautiful. That's so key, that longing to be seen, felt, and heard by another. And sometimes, even in that really being received, something shifts where I've experienced that myself, where I feel so desperate, I have to have something. And when I'm deeply heard, that then somehow that can, it can almost disappear or transform, be less attached suddenly because I've been received and connected with. That, thank you so much for bringing up the gift that we can give one another in that deep listening. And sometimes working with counselors such as yourself or myself, going to someone else to receive some deep listening so we can come back into the relationship and, yes. and offer deep listening to our partners. And this has been such a treasure. I just want to thank you so much for joining us on the show. I wish I had longer. How do people get in touch with you, find your beautiful DVD series, take your wonderful retreats? How would they find you?
We can be found on the internet, tantranova.com. That's T-A-N-T-R-A-N-O-V, like Victor A, tantranova.com. We're located in Chicago, Illinois. Our number is 773-525-5006.
Thank you so much, Elspeth, Freddy Zantal, for joining us.
Thank you,
You're
Francesca.
Welcome. Thank you.
Wonderful being with you.
And I want to thank you, our listening audience, for joining us, for being on this journey with us, for being these fabulous people of soul and heart. And if you want to know more about Freddy Zantal and Elspeth, see their pictures, read the transcript, get their links, find out about me and my coaching and my retreats, you can do that at www.personallifemedia.com. That's www.personallifemedia.com. Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.